In your bulletins, I've included the verses that I'm going to use today. Now, I'm not going to read all of them. Some of them I just put in there as a reference to you to look to see if what I'm saying is actually true. So, before we get started, let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we're just thankful for this time that we can just again study your word. And Father, help us to realize that you are God, that you are in control, that also that in the world that we live in today, there is a spiritual battle that is always raging, one between you and one between Satan for the hearts of men. Help us to understand that the world that we live in is a fallen world full of sin, and it's also a world that is condemned and one day will be destroyed by you. So, Father, as we study your word, just help us to be able to take your word and look at the things that are happening around us and be able to have discernment to understand what is behind these things, and also the understanding that, you know, Satan is alive and well and trying to deceive not only people but the nations. And so, Father, I just thank you for those that are here, and I thank you for those that are listening in, and I just pray, Father, that you would help us to understand your word and just be with me and help me to teach and preach it in a way that is understandable, and I ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. So some of the things I want to point out in the Ezekiel passage, we see that Lucifer or Satan was created, God said, as sealeth up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. So I mean, he was the sum of all perfection. God's glory shone through Lucifer. Satan was anointed cherub. By his descriptions, he may have been one of the most powerful of all God's angels. It said he covereth the throne, and this may imply that he actually guarded the throne of God. Thou hast been in Eden, it says, the garden of God. And it's possible that Satan was present in the garden when God created Adam and Eve. Satan's heart, it says, was lifted up and corrupted because of his beauty and his brightness. He was cast down to the ground or the earth, where he, it says, will be consumed or burnt up before the kings of the earth. Now, in Isaiah, we are told that Satan sought to establish his own kingdom in the spiritual realm above the throne of God. Revelation reveals that in his rebellion, he was able to convince one-third of the angels in heaven to follow him. So one-third of the angels fell. When he was defeated in his attempt to rule the spiritual realm, Satan set his sights on the earth and the material realm. He was able to convince Adam and Eve to rebel against God and join his rebellion in establishing a kingdom on the earth apart from God. We know that after man fell, God said that he would provide mankind with a savior who could save them and restore them to the position that God had created them for. God informed Satan that he will put an enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. From the time man sinned, there has been a battle between God's seed and Satan's seed. In other words, there is this cosmic battle that rages all around us in the spiritual realm between God and Satan. Now in Genesis 6, we saw that Satan attempted to corrupt mankind genetically by having some of the fallen angels marry the daughters of men. And he did this in order to prevent the woman's seed from ever being born. Now Satan came close to achieving his goal, and this is why God brought the judgment of the flood upon mankind. This is why he had to wipe out all human beings and all animals, except with the exception of Noah and his family, and of course the animals that Noah took on the ark. But we see that after the flood, it didn't take Satan long to move forward with his plans to rule the earth. In little more than 100 years after the flood, Satan used Nimrod to try and form his one world government. Nimrod was called a mighty one in the earth and a mighty hunter before the Lord. And we see that Nimrod was a type of Antichrist. The word mighty means warrior. It can also mean tyrant. So Nimrod stood opposed to God and sought to cast God off. As a tyrant, Nimrod set out to conquer the people and to build his own kingdom. So he attempted to do this by building the Tower of Babel. And one of the things about the purposes of the Tower of Babel we need to understand is that he wasn't only building it up into heaven, but he was the purpose of the tower was actually to reach the place of celestial beings. God confounds the languages we see, and he establishes nations to keep Satan and man from uniting against him. Now in Isaiah 14:12, it states, "How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations," referring to Satan. Now the word weaken means to prostrate. Okay, so by implication, to overthrow the nations. This was his goal. So throughout history, Satan has been working behind the scenes to bring the world under his control. And of course, it would be foolish of us today to somehow believe that Satan is not actively involved in the affairs of men, trying to move them to embrace this one world system of government. His objective since the Tower of Babel is to conquer and overcome the nations established by God and bring them into a form of one world system. So God, to slow Satan and mankind down, created nations. Satan's goal now is to destroy the nations, to bring them under his control. One of the most recent events that we've had, and it's before our time, is Hitler. Hitler would be an example of an antichrist. He would be an example of Satan's most recent attempt to conquer the nations during World War II, because that was Satan's goal. He was going to create the Aryan race, and he was going to rule the world. Now, from a biblical perspective, we know that the United States was founded under the influence of Christianity. God's fingerprints were all over the founding of our nation. We also need to be aware that Satan also has his influence in the United States. And so just as the Puritans came to the new land searching for a place to be able to worship God freely, many eventually came to the new land with the intent to found a new world organ or a new world order. Now, one of these groups were composed of Freemasons. Now, many people today believe that Freemasons are pretty good. You know, it's a good organization. It's pretty nice. They do a lot of good things. But what they don't realize is the Freemasons are a satanic organization which seeks to bring in a one world order. Now, on the surface, Freemasons claim to seek to be the best person they can be and to seek the good of others. But at the highest level of Freemasonry, it's full of satanic worshipers. So you can be, it's an organization that you should not be involved in, but most of the people in the lower levels of the Freemasonry do not know what actually goes on and what the purpose of the Freemasons are. Now, one of the most influential persons of the modern-day Freemasonry was Albert Pike. Now, in his book, Morals and Dogma of Freemasonry, he states, "Masonry, like all the religions, all the mysteries, hermeticism, and alchemy, conceals the secrets from all except the adepts and sages or the elect," in other words, the higher echelon of it, "and uses false explanations and misinterpretations of its symbol to mislead those who deserve only to be misled, to conceal the truth which it calls light from them and draw them away from it. He also said, the true and pure philosophical religion is the belief in Lucifer, the equal of Adonai. But Lucifer, God of light and God of good, is struggling for humanity against Adonai, the God of darkness and evil. So Freemasons or Freemasonry at the top level consider Satan to be the good guy, and they consider God to be the bad guy. They see Satan as the hero who rescued man from the cruelty of God's control in the garden. Now, in the United States, it's interesting, and I won't name them. You can do the research yourself, but we've had at least 15 presidents who were Freemasons. And many of these were up in the higher echelon of Freemasonry, so we know that they were very much aware of the satanic purposes of the organization. Now, that's pretty interesting. Other groups that have satanic origins is the Illuminati. And the stated goal of the Illuminati, it says the society's stated goal were to oppose superstition, obscurantism, if that's how you pronounce that, in other words, false information basically, religious influence over public life and abuses of state power. So on the surface, from a human point of view, it doesn't sound too bad, other than the, keeping religious influence over the public life. Now, the Illuminati see their enlightenment as being directly communicated from a higher source, okay, or, think demons, or due to a clarified and exalted condition of human intelligence. In other words, think the elite or the enlightened of humanity, the ones that are so much more above us, the common ordinary citizens. Now, the Illuminati see their enlightenment as demons. Now, there's also the order of skull and bones. And Skull and Bones is a recruiting ground for the global conspiracy of global government. Now, it's a satanic organization. It's a secret organization. And it's interesting that the elder, George H.W. Bush, has been described as a globalist. If you listen to him, go back and listen, he's always talking about a new world order, okay? Now, he was a member of the Bohemian Club, member of the Skull and Bones, the member of the Committee of Foreign Relations, and the Trilateral Commission. He also served as the director of the CIA, an arm of the government heavily infiltrated by Masons, actually. Now, George W. Bush, his son, is thought to be a high-ranking Illuminati member, and if you listen to him, you can see a lot of globalist talk in him as a president. And he played a key role in the September 11th attack on the towers, which many believe was what they call a false flag attack. In other words, it was real. Some people died, but it was intentionally set up in order to be able to bring about the Patriot Act and the war in Iraq. And in this sense, it was the Patriot Act, if you remember, took a lot of our freedoms away. So, Bush also has numerous ties in big business, Wall Street, the Illuminati front groups, Satanists, cults, and oil companies. Now, the interesting thing, as you study the family, you will find out that George Bush's grandfather, the late U.S. Senator Prescott Bush, was a director and shareholders of companies that profited from their involvement with the financial brokers in Nazi Germany. You will find out that many of these organizations, like Chase and Morgan or whatever they're called, and all these other ones, you'll find out that a lot of them were involved in the war during Germany, and many of them sponsored them, and also, after they were defeated, became a lot richer because of it. Now, talking about him, Prescott, it has also been suggested that the money he made from these dealings, in other words, helping the Nazis, helped to establish the Bush family fortune and set up its political dynasty. Now, if you do some research, it is true he was charged with basically helping the Nazis, but nothing ever came of it. Now, Harry Truman also was one of the most active and enthusiastic Masonic presidents. He was initiated as a Master Mason in 1911. He was elected Worshipful Master of his own lodge a few years later, and in 1940, he was elected Grand Master of Masons of Missouri. So he eventually rose to the 33rd degree, which is Satanic, and was also a member of the Illuminati groups, the Skull and Bones, and the Council on Foreign Relations. Now, other groups having globalist ties today is what is called the Council of Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberg Group, the Bohemian Grove. And one of the men who was involved in all these was David Rockefeller. Now, the Rockefeller name comes up all the time. Remember in our study on education, who was the one that wanted to change? He was greatly involved in the, you know, this, the compulsory education was the Rockefellers. Later, we will see that the Rockefellers actually changed the way our medical profession is done, and that'll be for a later message, but it seems like the Rockefeller name comes up an awful lot. Now, here are some of David Rockefeller's quotes. Okay, and I believe that he died just a few years ago, if I remember right. But David Rockefeller said, "For more than a century, ideological extremists at either end of the political spectrum have seized upon well-publicized incidents such as my encounter with Castro to attack the Rockefeller family for the inordinate influence they claim we wield over American political and economic institutions. Some even believe that we are part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalists, and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure." In other words, one world, if you will. "If that's the charge," he says, "I stand guilty, and I'm proud of it." He also stated later, at one time, "We are grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Time Magazine, and other great publications whose directors have attended our meetings and respected their promises of discretion for almost 40 years. It would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subjected to the lights of publicity during those years. But the world is more sophisticated and prepared to march toward a world government. The supranational sovereignty of an intellectual elite and world bankers is surely preferable to the national auto-determination practice in the past century." Sounds kind of global to me. Now, speaking of controlling the news, for you, those of you who are old enough, there used to only be three TV stations, and you used to have an antenna to get it. Do you remember that? And you'd have CBS, NBC, and ABC. Now, back when I was growing up, where am I at here? I lost my... Oh. Back when I was growing up, we used to always sit around the TV and we always listened to Walter Cronkite. For those of you that are old enough, you know, Walter Cronkite was an anchor at CBS News from 1962 until he retired in 1981. Cronkite was considered one of the most trusted figures in the United States. Just about everybody tuned in to listen, and they trusted the news without questioning it because Walter always told us this is the way it was. And so I can remember growing up and, you know, whatever Walter told you, that was what was really happening. Now, interesting, you know, after he retired, and this is in 1999, it said he received an award from the World Federalist Association in which he made this statement. In other words, he decries our failure to live up to our obligation to the United Nations. And he notes the narrow, selfish political objectives of politicians who are influenced by the Christian coalition and the rest of the religious right wing. He then references Pat Robertson, who wrote in a book, any attempt to achieve world order before that time, in other words, before Christ comes back to set up his kingdom, must be the work of the devil. So if you see a one world system being organized before Christ comes back, he basically just said, that's of the devil. So Cronkite defiantly declares, and I listened to this whole thing, well, join me. I'm glad to sit here at the right hand of Satan. This is a man that we trusted to give us the news. So fake news is not a modern phenomena. It has been part of our government for over 100 years. Much of what we know about events that occur in our nation and our world is controlled by propaganda. In other words, we don't even know all the areas that we ourselves have been deceived, and or all the things that we actually believe that are not true, if we've listened to the media and grown up with it. Now, many agencies within the United States government, such as the CIA, make it their business to control the news that American people hear in order to be able to control the narrative and sway public opinion. They basically brainwash us. And this is what the CIA was developed for, was to brainwash and manipulate and control people. Now, today, Satan is also trying to weaken the nations through international organizations such as the United Nations, as we've mentioned, the World Economic Forum, the World Health Organization, and the World Council of Churches. He is trying to move the world into one form of government through a globalist agenda. Now, the goal is to move the world toward a form of government where unelected officials have control over every nation. Unelected officials. We have a lot of unelected officials in our government right now, don't we? That we don't even vote for them. But the whole thing is not to have governments control the world, but unelected officials. And it's interesting, if you look at Revelation 17:12, and I have that on your paper, notice what this actually says. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom yet. Okay, they've received, they're kings, but they've received no kingdoms, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Now, as we look at this passage, it seems that those who have control over the nations right here are not really kings in a political sense. It seems to imply that these rulers are non-elected officials who have great power and influence over the nations. Okay, think artificial intelligence. Think a one world religious leader. Think of all these different things. And these are people in a lot of different areas. These 10 people have control over economics or the money or the data centers. So you're looking at influential people. Now, one of the organizations pushing for this unelected government has already been mentioned, and that's the World Economic Forum. We keep coming back to that, and there's a reason why. It is an independent, non-for-profit, international organization that aims to improve the world by, now listen where they have influence, by connecting business, political, academic, and other leaders to shape global, regional, industry agenda. Its goal is to bring about a one-world government. They also have their hands in the media of what we hear and see. Now, its beginnings, okay? Now, the World Economic Forum had its beginnings with Klaus Schwab. Klaus Schwab was born in Germany during the time of Hitler. He would have been around 7 years old when Germany was defeated. Now, this means he spent his formative years, you know, a lot of how you're tuned is from the first few years that you're born. This means he spent his formative years under the education of Nazi Germany. If you study Nazi Germany, you will see that these kids pledged allegiance to Hitler. They called Hitler their savior. They were brainwashed. The children loved Hitler. And I'm not saying that he did, but what I'm saying is he was old enough to be educated. Now, his father ran a company which supplied munitions for Germany, and this company used forced labor from nearby concentration camps. Now, you can do research on him. Nobody knows whether he was a Nazi or not, but the fact is he ran a company that supplied munitions, and he used prisoners of war to help run his factories. Now, according to the official report, the WEF was an offshoot of the Club of Rome, because this is that think tank. The Club of Rome, of course, is satanic, and it has all those people in it. But what they believe is the world is too populated. They even wrote a book about it. We just need to cut the population down. Now, the Club of Rome and David Rockefeller, but it goes beyond that. Klaus was recruited by Henry Kissinger via a CIA-funded program at Harvard University, where Klaus just happened to be going at the time. Now, if you look at Henry Kissinger, when I was growing up, I kind of had a little bit of respect for him, you know, but I didn't know everything about him. But I do know that he was a Jew. But I almost think that he said one time, if I remember in my mind here as I'm reading through it, he kind of said, you know, if he wasn't a Jew, he would be an anti-Semitic or whatever they call him, right? Because he didn't like Jewish people, but he was a Jew, okay? But it's interesting when you look into who Henry Kissinger was, he was a very strong supporter of global government. These are some of the things that he said. Today, and this is a while ago, he died, I think, last year or the year before, I can't remember, but he had a lot of influence. But this is one of the things he said. America would be outraged if United Nations troops entered Los Angeles to restore order. Tomorrow, they will be grateful. This is especially true if they were told that there was an outside threat from beyond, whether real or promulgated, that threatened our very existence. It is then that all peoples of the world will plead to deliver them from this evil. The one thing every man fears is the unknown. When presented with this scenario, individual rights will be willingly relinquished for the guarantee of their well-being granted to them by a one-world government. He says, the one thing man fears is the unknown. When presented with this scenario, individual rights will be willingly relinquished. He also said, who controls the food supply controls the people. Who controls the energy can control whole continents. Who controls money can control the world. World population needs to be decreased by 50%, Henry said. The new world order cannot happen without U.S. participation, and we are the most significant single component. Yes, there will be a new world order, and it will force the United States to change its perceptions. I think that his, and he's talking about Obama, I think that his task will be to develop an overall strategy for America in this period when really a new world order can be created. And I don't know about you, but I have never seen, when President Obama was elected, I've never seen a country go downhill faster. If you could have told me he could have accomplished what he accomplished in 8 years, I would have said you were crazy. But he did it. But his goal, he's one of those ones, the New World Order guys. Now, if the Club of Rome, okay, David Rockefeller, Henry Kissinger, and the CIA selected Klaus Schwab to head the World Economic Forum, it's not hard to see the agenda and purpose behind it, is there? What they believe. Now, as was mentioned before, one of the most outspoken speakers for the Economic Forum is Yuval Harari. Now, he says, how do you cause people to believe in an imagined order such as Christianity, democracy, or capitalism? First, you never admit that the order is imagined. So he believes that Christianity is just something imagined. If you demand the ultimate truth, you realize that the story of Adam and Eve is a myth. But how often do you demand the ultimate truth? So he says that Adam and Eve is nothing but a myth. He says human rights, just like God in heaven, are just a story that we've invented. They are not an objective reality. They are not some biological effect about Homo sapiens. So he certainly is very outspoken against God, very outspoken against Christ. Now, 1 John, he denies Christ. Now, 1 John 2:18 says, remember, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time. And in 1 John 2:22 it says, who is the liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Now, when you listen to Yuval, he seems very sympathetic to the harm that technology might bring on the common man. But what he is actually telling you, because he denies Christ, he is a liar, what he's actually telling you is exactly what the plans of the elite are for in the coming one world order. Now, the common man will have no place in it except to become slaves of the elite. We're just dummies. We're just workers to whatever the whim is. And do we see that in the middle of the tribulation actually coming to the forefront when the Antichrist, what, takes over the world? And you have to take the mark. Now, it's interesting here that Yuval is Jewish, for one. He's also a homosexual married to a man, secondly. It sounds a lot like the spirit of the Antichrist, who we are told in Daniel 11:31. This is what he says about the Antichrist. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, Yuval denies them, nor the desire of women. He doesn't like women. He likes men. Okay? Nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. And Yuval's attitude is that we can. We don't need God to evolve. He believes that through technology, man can evolve to a higher level. And this is his mentality. So, you know, he's magnifying himself and thinks that he can above God. We don't need God to have eternal life. We can do it ourselves. Now, there's also something else that we need to know about the World Economic Forum, and this will kind of help us to understand how could the world, with COVID-19, move so quickly with all of its lockdowns and everybody basically do the same thing? Well, we're going to find out. And we'll end with this. The World Economic Forum formed what is known as the Young Global Leaders in 1993 to prepare and teach global leaders of tomorrow. Now, this is 1993. Speaking about the Young Global Leader Program at Harvard University in 2017, Schwab said, "This notion to integrate young leaders is part of the World Economic Forum since many years." And I'd like to be able to do it with a German accent, but I can't. A lot of people can. They can imitate him. You know, but I can't, okay? And I have to say, when I mention now names like Mrs. Merkel, even Vladimir Putin, and so on, they all have been young global leaders of the World Economic Forum. Did you realize that Putin was actually one of his little students before he ever became the president of Russia? But what we are very proud of now, the young generation, like Prime Minister Trudeau, President of Argentina, and so on, that we penetrate the cabinets. So yesterday I was at a reception for Prime Minister Trudeau, and I know that half of this cabinet, or even more half of this cabinet, are for our actually young global leaders of the World Economic Forum. Now, if you look at Canada right now, they are very anti-Christianity, and they are cracking down on their citizens, and they are basically, it's almost like it's getting to be a Gestapo type. Why? Trudeau, where did he come from? He's a young globalist leader. He was taught to do this. And this is him saying this years ago, that most of his cabinet belong to the people that he taught. And we wonder why the governments are so, they don't listen to the people, they just do what they want. Anyway, he goes on, "It is true in Argentina and it's true in France now, I mean with the president, with the young global leader. But what is important for me is those young global leaders have an opportunity to come here and we have established a cause." What cause do you think that he's established? A one world government. Now, I'm going to read this, and this is just a few names. And it amazes me when you read this because, I mean, there are people from all over the place. Doesn't matter whether it's the government, whether it's the media, even our Hollywood stars. A lot of these people are involved in this. But in an article in Human Events, and this was written back in 2022, it says, since its founding in 1993, when it was called Global Leaders for Tomorrow, until today, there have been a new class every year totaling over 1,400 young global leaders. And the most recent wave of graduates is already having an impact on politics globally. World Economic Forum does not discriminate based on party. It recruits politicians from both sides. This is especially true in the United States. There is, and he named some of these global leaders that have gone through these classes: Dan Crenshaw, Gavin Newsom, Adam Kinzinger, Pete Buttigieg, or whatever his name is, Nikki Haley, Tulsi Gabbard, Texas Congressman Colin Allred, and Phoenix Mayor Kate Galagio have all been named as young global leaders. If you recognize any relatively young politicians from our nation, chances are they may also be young global leaders. Now, some of the most powerful people alive have participated in this program. World leaders such as Putin, Trudeau, Emmanuel Macron, and Angela Merkel, okay? And business leaders like Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, Larry Page, and Sergey Brin are all listed as young globalist leader alumni. Whew, that's quite a list right there. And it goes on, and just for the sake of time, I didn't want to go down through the list, but you would be absolutely amazed. You know, when you think of Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, Musk is in there too somewhere, okay? I just didn't mention him. But you know, when you think of these names right here, like Gates, Bezos, Zuckerberg, Page, Brin, they're all transhumanists. They believe that through their technology, they're going to be able to have eternal life. They believe that with all their hearts. God said it's appointed unto men once to die. After that judgment, they think that they can beat death. But when you study these people, we're going to talk a lot about Bill Gates here in one of my messages, because Bill Gates, he kind of controls the World Health Organization and a lot of different things. And so we're going to see how he does that. But imagine this. And I'm trying to think what Musk controls. You know, Musk right now, I mean, he seems like a good guy, doesn't he? I mean, he opened Twitter up, and it's called, what, X now or something like that? And so we can get some actual, maybe some true news on it, right? But think about what he controls. He controls Twitter, because think about AI taking over everything. He controls Twitter, or X, that's his platform. He's into brain chip technology, that's control. He's what we call Skylink. Did you ever watch Terminator with Skynet? Well, he's into Skylink. And he's going to put all these satellites up in the air. And what do those satellites do? It connects everything. It connects the data. It makes it the speed of it. And there was something else he was involved in. My mind's gone blank. But SpaceX. Okay, but there's these things, what you need to take over the world, okay? He's involved in the developing, well, AI is the other one. I didn't mention AI, right? So artificial intelligence, he's also into artificial intelligence. So you take all those from him, and he's actually developing the platform that I believe that the Antichrist is going to be able to use to take over the world. Now, I'm going to end with these verses. We've mentioned them before. But 1 John 5:19 says we know that we are children of God. But what else do we know? And that the whole world is under control of the evil one. Satan is plotting constantly to bring about his beast system. And we need to be aware of that. 2 Corinthians 4:3 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, think all the unsaved, in whom the God of this world has blinded their what? Their minds. The minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, shine unto them. And I was thinking of one more verse that came to my head, a couple of them. But in John 9:19, it says this, And this is the condemnation, that the light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh into the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And that kind of sounds like a lot of people who like to do a lot of things in secret and don't want what they're actually doing. They don't want the light brought to it. Father, we just thank you for this time that we could look into your word. And Father, help us to realize that if we would open our eyes and if we would kind of look around us in the world today, it doesn't matter whether it's our nation, the other nations, and we see all these organizations, that we can actually see Satan alive and well in the world today, and we can actually see this beginning. It's just this great push, and it's accelerated so fast, this push to take the freedoms of people away in the world, no matter what nation they're from, and to enslave them. And one of the ways that we see that they're doing this is through the use of technology. There's so much that they're doing. They're taking our rights away. And, there are people in the world, even unbelievers who are, their eyes are open to this. But yet at the same time, we know that, this last government, form of government, will actually crush the people. So help us, Father, as believers, to have the wisdom to see what is coming and actually be prepared for it, too. I mean, we're in a state, Father, where we know that anything can happen in our nation right now that could cripple us. So, Father, just help us to be alert. Help us to be understanding how does your word apply to the real world around us. And I just ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.